Hello and welcome to season 2, episode 4 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. I'm Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Virtual Coffee is an intimate group of developers at all stages of their coding journey, and they're here on this podcast sharing their stories and what they've learned. And we're here to share it with you. Here with me today is my co-host, Dan.
Thanks, Becca. Today we're joined by Deborah K. Elliott. Deborah K. is a front-end developer going through a boot camp, and she's adding community learning to her learning process. She's a career changer from the administrative field and has always wanted to be in tech. And we talked about what it's like to be on the self-taught developer journey, which I can tell you is a long one. we talked about imposter syndrome and also some of the key things that Deborah K. has learned along the way.
We start every episode of the podcast like we start every virtual coffee. We introduce ourselves with our name, where we're from, what we do, and a random check-in question. Today's random check-in question is, if you were famous, what would you be famous for? We hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, I'm Becca. I'm a front-end developer from a small town in Ohio. And if I could be famous for anything, I think I like approach this in two ways. Like one, like what might be possible, or like two, anything. So I really like the superhero, The Flash. And so I would like to be famous for being The Flash. And
like the Flash specifically, or just very, very fast?
I don't know. I think I would like to be Barry Allen. He's cool. All right. But if I had to do something that is more practical than that, I would want to be the strongest mom in the world. I think I was telling someone earlier today, I like weightlifting, heavy things. So I will be the strongest mom, because that's realistic too.
Hi, I'm Dan. I'm a front-end developer from Lakewood, Ohio. I am not going practical at all. My first instinct was, you know, spaceship flying. So like, you know, the Millennium Falcon or whatever, you know, doing that Kessel Run. I basically like, that'd be my famous, you know. Oh, Dan. Oh, man. He's like, he's the fastest, you know, spaceship flyer there is. So that's my choice. If I could
spaceship flyer.
Spaceship pilot. I realize flyer is a really silly way to say that. But, you know, so be it. That's what it is. Dan, the spaceship flyer.
Hi, I am Deborah Key, front-end developer from Jamaica. If I was to be famous for anything, my first answer would be like fiction novels, because I am a sucker for fiction and I cannot put a book down when I start to read it. And I have a really, really, really long book list of books to read. And then my second answer would be, I'm so happy that Becca said superhero, because my favorite superheroes are Captain Marvel and Deadpool. So like, if I could combine their two powers into one, like that would be me, because like I'm a little bit obsessed with Deadpool. I don't know why, and I love Ryan Reynolds. So nice. Yeah. So I have two answers for those, surprisingly. So I'm so happy it's not like practical, because I always go for superhero and books first.
That's
sweet.
That's pretty awesome. What are you reading right now?
So I'm reading. What is the title of it? Let me one sec.
Sorry, because I put you on the spot.
Yeah, because I am like almost halfway. Well, I'm past halfway through the book, and it's by Estela Vasquez Perez, I think her last name is. And it's a series, so I'm on the second book, and it's called Dark Serenade. Yeah, so it's Montenegro Book 2, Dark Serenade by Estela Vasquez Perez.
Nice. Yeah. Well, if it's on book two, then you must have liked the first one.
Yeah, so it's three books. So nice. Yeah, and I actually bought this one because the first one was free. You know what they do with series? They make you read the first one and see if you like it. So I need to finish the series. So
yeah.
Book two or three now.
That's awesome.
Nice.
I've gotten into a bad habit of getting the first book of a series on the library or whatever, and then just like the second one isn't available and I need it. And so I just, yes. just buy it. Yes. Or if I can find the set, cause I'm just like, all right, well, I know I'm just going to do this with the third one or whatever. I just... mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always make the mistake of waiting for it to come in from the library. And then by the time it comes in, I'm like, what happened in book one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like what I've been trying to do now is if I see that the book is a series, I have to like decide, okay, am I either going to read through the entire series before I take up any other book or leave that until like the very end? Because if I start a series, I don't want to be like, okay, read book one, then start something else and then forgot what happened in that book one. Then I have to read it over. So yeah.
Totally.
It's a good strategy. All right, Deborah Kay, we are super happy to have you here with us today. And we always like to get started with what brought a person to this place in their life. So if you want to give us the Deborah Kay origin story, we would love to hear it.
Oh, I could talk about this all day, kind of. Oh, I won't. So I actually studied information technology. I did my degree in information technology, like about... 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Because I always liked tech, always liked the web. I taught myself to use a computer when I was like 16, but just didn't really have any sense of direction and didn't know web development was a thing. So just didn't really know how to get into the field. So I studied IT, did a degree, and just never got a job in it because I just wasn't able to. And there was no guidance, no anything. And where I'm from in Jamaica, it's mostly always system admins, network admins. And I dislike hardware. I do not like hardware. Mm-hmm. But I'll play with software all day. Yeah. So I just didn't know what to do, how to get in it. And it always seemed like programming was this rocket science thing that only certain people could do. So I was like, okay, don't know what to do. So... and I discovered I like design too. So I did like a couple of courses in graphic design. And then I was like, okay, I'll go do that. But then after like a year, I was like, you know, I don't really like it as much. I like it, but not as much as I did. And then in 2019, I was like, wait, I decided to be active on Twitter again because I had an account, but just didn't do anything with it. And then I kept seeing people talk about this thing. I was like, wait, this is a thing? And then I... got the courage to DM somebody and ask them, like, how do you go about this? What is it? And they're like, what do you like? And they're, and I was like, I like design. And like, okay, you could do UX, UI. And I was like, okay. Then I went down a rabbit hole of research for months and months and months. And that's when I started to realize, like, oh, web development is a thing. People actually do this. And it can be done. I don't have to go back to university for it. Okay, how do I do this? So I went down the rabbit hole and bookmarked all the courses and enrolled in lots of things that I, to this day, haven't gotten back to. But when I actually started to realize that there was actually a way, a path to actually do it, I was like, okay, yeah, this is it. This is it. So I just need to figure out how to do it, but this is it. This is what I've been searching for. And when I also realized I don't have to know every single thing, and there are certain things that you should know, but then there are other paths in tech that you really don't need to get into. I was like, okay, I can do this. So I'm probably going to need some help, but it can be done. So that's a long-winded way of over the course of several years. Yeah.
I think that's so great. And I think that so many of us, like, I know I've been down that rabbit hole a number of times, right? And there's so much out there to try and figure out, like, what everybody will say, like, well, what do you like doing? And sometimes you don't even know what you like doing because you don't know what's available. And
sometimes it's more than one thing too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And figuring out how those work together. I think it's really great that you DM somebody and ask for help, because I think that can be a struggle just to get to that place, and to know that, you know, you were willing to put yourself out there is such a great first step.
Yeah. And funny thing too, when I the person that I DM'd is this guy that I have been following for a while on Twitter, but he is I think he's a Ruby on Rails developer, if I'm not mistaken. And he has been doing it for like over 10 years because he like taught himself. And I sent him this long message and I was like, you know what? He'll never see this and he'll never respond. And he actually responded. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, you can do this. Just like, look into this avenue since you like Zine. And I was like, oh my God, somebody responded. And from him telling me that you can do it, and he was also self-taught, I was like, oh my God, it's actually a thing. Like, there's actually some kind of path here, some kind of avenue. There's a way to actually get into this field. Because I always wanted to be in tech, but I just never got the opportunity to. And to actually, for someone to actually, who's been doing it for a while and encouraging people to get into tech and tell you that, hey, it can be done. There's actually a way. You just need to figure out what way works for you, but it can be done. So that was like really cool.
I love that. I was wondering like how you said, find out which ways work for you. So what have you found to be the most like personally useful, you know, tools to learn? Are there courses or tutorials or you know, what kind of strategies have you been using?
I have been, I won't say, I know there's tutorial hell. I'm not in tutorial hell, but when I started, I was enrolling in every free course that I could find. Cause you know, there's a Treehouse and there's Udemy and there's everything. So I have like a bookmark folder full of courses that I could sign up for. And then I signed up for a bunch of Udemy courses, never took them, but like I signed up for them. And then I have bought like one or two Udemy courses, like recommended ones. And I still haven't gotten to those that I bought yet. And then I started Free Code Camp. And then I'm currently doing front end masters. And then I was like kind of trying to do two, three at the same time. And it took me like 4 months to realize that, okay, one of them is not sticking with the information. I just wasn't understanding. And I had to be like, okay, trying to juggle too many courses at the same time. They're all basically the fundamentals of HTML, CSS. I haven't gotten to JavaScript yet. But I was trying to like balance what I was learning from one boot camp to what I was learning with the other. And I was like, wait, but they didn't show me this one in this boot camp. So this doesn't make sense. And I had to just decide like, okay, pick one, drop the others, try to finish this one, and then maybe pick up another one afterwards. So I mainly use front-end masters, and of course, YouTube. And I haven't even gotten to the Udemy ones yet, but I have like one bootcamp in Udemy because I did buy the Code Steals bootcamp last year, but I still haven't gotten to it yet. So main sources, front-end masters, Free Code Camp, yeah, for some little things like pieces of code that I know that I understood better than. And Udemy and YouTube. Masters. Yeah. Those are the main ones.
I think it can be super hard as you're trying to figure that out too, right? Like you're saying, there can be conflicting material or one teaches one approach and it just makes it really hard to kind of learn. But also if you can find something that's good, I was doing a boot camp before I went to Flatiron that I just dreaded opening up every morning because the material was just so hard for me. It was a lot of videos and I struggle with videos and they just kept trying to make jokes in the videos. And I was so frustrated with it. Like, just tell me what I need to do. And then just deciding I'm not doing this. It's not worth it. If it's going to make me frustrated and hate what I'm doing, then I need to find something better and that works for me. And so I think that sometimes exactly what you did is a good path. Like, look at these things and then kind of figure out what you need to focus on.
Yeah. And funny thing is, like, I was doing, and granted, Free Code Camp is a great resource. Like, that's the first thing I tell everybody to go to. And like for the first like couple sections, I was like, okay, yeah, I understand this. But I got like halfway through CSS and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then it would say things like, you know, remember so-and-so. And I was like, I would have to literally go back to that, read the thing again, do the little exercise again, because I just wasn't getting it. And then I kept switching between that and something else and that and front-end masters. And I was like, I need to pick one. And when I started front-end masters again for like the third time, I was like, oh, wait, this makes sense now. And it took me like partway through to realize that I was learning inline CSS for one bootcamp and external CSS for the other one. And that's why it wasn't clicking, because I despise inline CSS. Like, I just don't, I read the code and I'm just like, I don't know what this is saying. But if it's the external side sheet where I can see everything like lined up, I was like, oh. And that's when it started to click and I was like, okay, yep. Dropping this one for now because I don't understand anything here. Let me go do this one because I understand this one better. And I also like boot camps or tutorials where you get like little exercises to do on your own. And you actually have to write the code out yourself. Like you have to type it from beginning, from your little H1 and your little keys, like everything on your own, because it helps it to stick better than when a tutorial gives you part of the code and you have to like change a little one line or a little change a color. So for me, it worked better where I had to like type everything out myself because it helped it stick better.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't know. I don't ever remember anything from like reading or watching videos or anything like that until I can actually, you know, write it or apply it or whatever. Whether it's exercise, you know, at the end of a course or, you know, actually trying to do a project that uses whatever I learned, that kind of thing. For me, that it's always, it's always a way to make it actually stick in my brain. And if I'm being honest, actually understand it, you know, I'll sit there and nod through a video or a talk or something. And I won't ever act. If somebody asked me a question at the end, I'd be like, I'm not really sure until I sit there and use it, you know? And I'm like, okay, yes, I get it. Now I get it.
And one of the things that I found that worked for me too is like shorter videos. Cause there are some tutorials that are like an hour long, 4 hours long, like 20 hours this. And, you know, and my attention span is like really short. So like with the front end masters videos, they're all like really short, like a minute, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. But for me, watching a video is actually like the instructor will say one thing and be like, to do this, you do this. And I'll hit pause and I'll just start to try to do it. So for me, watching a video, it's like me spending 2 hours trying to get through one video, because I will just hit pause and try to do it. And I'll rewind and try it again. So a 1 hour video for me could probably take like, I don't know, 5 hours. Cause I don't like just make play through. I will just stop, try to do it. Didn't get that. Okay. Let me play it again. Try to do it. Yeah.
I think that's a really great point. Like you just said, a 1 hour video can take me 5 hours, right? Because sometimes when you're learning something, you think like, okay, well, I'm going to sit here for an hour. I have an hour. But that's not practical application of what you're learning. And so as you're going through those things, actually doing them, it's going to take more time, but you're going to learn more in the long run. And so thinking about it like that in terms of, I remember when I was in boot camp, I had maybe complained that it wasn't clear how long each lesson was going to take or exercise. And then somebody responded and they said, well, you know, part of it is learning how long it is going to take you because it will be different for everyone else. And that was a lesson that didn't really click with me until later. But, you know, depending on where you're at and how you approach it and how much you've taken and understood from the previous lessons, it's going to affect how long that thing is going to take you. And don't judge yourself based on how long it takes you. Judge how much progress you've made and think about like how much you've learned through doing that. It's not a race, right?
And something that you also realize too, there are some things that even though you've done it through the video, so you may, you know, stop and code it, there are some things that you just can't remember to do or some things that you kind of can't figure out why it's not working because you didn't realize that you didn't do something or you missed something in the code. And then there are other things that you have to think about. You just type it because it's just there in your brain, and some things just don't stick.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's like part of learning how to code, right? You know, and trying to do that while you're watching a video, watching it in the middle of an hour long, you know, video, seems challenging, at best. As a, Egghead has their courses. So it's like a course on a topic, but it's a series of, you know, of short videos, like you're saying, you know, and so they have like broken up, you know, built-in pauses. So it's like one, like you're going to learn like a large thing, and it's how, you know, an hour long, an hour's worth of content, but you can just see that it's broken up. This is like a minute and a half chapter or whatever it is, whatever they call it. But I like the way that they organize that, because they kind of realize that nobody's going to really learn anything sitting and consuming for an hour, you know, or not, I shouldn't say nobody, but you know, it's probably challenging for a lot of people to do that, do it that way.
And then some things you would still have to Google.
Oh yeah.
Cause some things you just can't remember.
Well, that's also always true. I mean, I don't know. I've been a developer for a while now, and I Google things every day. I don't know, multiple times a day. If, you know, if I'm coding, I can't remember. There's like an array method that's just a JavaScript thing that has just like been the same for 100 years. And I literally just can't remember the order of, you know, how things go in. I look it up every single time. I don't know what it is, mental block, but that Google is a top developer tool.
That's, I've been writing my blog with Markdown for a couple of years now, and I can never remember the right format for the link. Like, I Googled it every single time for years, right? And it just wouldn't stick. And then I had tweeted about it, and people like offered me all of these different ways to remember it. And finally, one of them clicked, and now I don't have to Google it. The brackets come first and the parentheses come second, like a function. I think that's what they were kind of saying. Anyway, doesn't matter. It makes sense to me. And now I don't need to Google it, but I did for like 2 years straight. And I think that's kind of part of the other thing too, right? Like sometimes you'll be presented the information and there will be 12 people that give you a different explanation, and that one explanation will fit. And I think there's a tendency for new developers or people who are learning to think about, well, I can't get this and this other person got it, and so I must not be good enough for this, right? And that's not true. It's just not presented in a way that makes sense to your brain or something that's easily usable. But that's why it's great to have so many different people writing blogs or creating content, because there's more options for you to kind of search out and figure out what works for you.
That took me a while to understand that, and took me a while to accept too, because I was like, I studied IT, this should be easy for me. And I kind of thought going into this that it would be so easy because I did a degree in IT. And when I did my degree, I did Java and C++. And granted, I didn't understand a thing in Java. Like, I just couldn't get it. I mean, and I had to get so much help with that course, and I did C++, did discrete math, and what's the other thing called? I can't even remember the name of the other course. And I was like, okay, I managed to get through those, granted a lot of help, because they were just, it wasn't clicking. And my instructor, she loved programming. Like, she's like a hardcore programmer. She's like, you should do this, and you should go do your master's now. And I was like, but it just wasn't clicking. And when I found out about web development, I was like, okay, this should be easy for me to be able to catch on, because I studied IT and I tinker in IT all the time, but it just wasn't clicking. And I kind of started to feel like maybe it's me. And especially when you see so many other developers out there who've been doing this for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they make everything so and so easy, you start to feel like, okay, maybe you're not cut out for it. Maybe you're just, this is not for you. And it really took me a while to realize that, okay, I'm not the only person who struggles with some of these things. Like, it's actually not as easy as people make it look. For some people, it may click quicker than some, but it's, if it was kind of easy, everybody would do it. So it took me a while to like, get to that place.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I'm glad you've gotten to that realization, because it comes up a lot. And I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about this recently, about how everybody is, I keep saying everybody, but lots of people learn in ways similar to you, right? Sort of on their own, different courses, maybe boot camps or whatever, but much different than sort of in school, right? And so if you were going in school, you would be in a class with other people, and you're not following 7,000 people who are already experts at what you're learning in school, you know? And I've been thinking about how to like approach that, right? Because on one hand, I like following people who are, you know, domain experts in whatever it is I want to learn about. But at the same time, that sort of pressure, external pressure, and it's not even anybody's fault, right? But once you know something, you probably like to talk about it, right? Coming from when you don't know it, you know, it's just like you were saying, it can seem like they make it seem easy, you know. And how to approach that like learning process when you're starting out, how to avoid falling into that trap, you know, of like following all these people, because you're like, okay, top developers to follow, you know, like follow all these different Twitter accounts or whatever it is, blog posts. And meanwhile, there's like thousands and thousands of people in the exact same boat, you know, struggling and, you know, trying to push through everything and trying to figure out what to learn next. And they are not on all the top developers to follow lists, you know, you know what I mean? It's, I don't know. It's an interesting problem. I don't have any solutions or anything, but it's an interesting problem to think about. And you're not like, lots of people we talk to here at Virtual Coffee on the podcast or in, you know, Virtual Coffee proper, I guess, are in the same boat, and then have the same sort of realizations, you know, that like, it's a struggle. It's hard to learn. Hard to learn anything new. And I don't know. I've been, yep. I don't know. That's the end of my thing. I don't have any further. I don't really have a question or a statement, you know, but it's just a very interesting topic to me.
But something that I also realized too, like, and honestly, Virtual Coffee is the community that has made me feel more comfortable asking questions. But even something that I noticed too, you know, even on Twitter, or even though if you decide to ask questions, wherever you ask questions, especially as a newbie, like I am so good at overwhelming myself with like all the things to learn and all these things. But sometimes when you ask like a question that you think in your head is really simple, and I mean, it's not overly complicated, but it's just that it hasn't clicked for you yet. And you may ask somebody who is an experienced developer and they give you this really advanced answer. And, you know, you do this and you do this. I'm just like, I don't even know what that is. And because they have been doing this for a while, they kind of don't really know how to explain something in like layman's terms to a beginner where it will connect the dots for you. And because I'm learning Git and I'm like a little bit more comfortable with it now, but I was asking someone a question about it and they gave me like this answer. I was like, oh my God. I don't even know how to do that. So is there any way to like avoid that right now? Because I don't know how to do that and I'm going to mess up something if I try it. So it's like also realizing for yourself how you learn, and also to not try to grab everything because you need to learn everything. So I like, and I mean, even when you Google stuff too, like I sat yesterday evening reading a blog post trying to fix something in CSS, and I read the article, which was like, I don't know, 5 minutes long, and I just still didn't understand what to do. So it's really like a tricky kind of thing, because some people really don't know how to break down the answer on your level because they've been doing it for so long, so it's so natural for them, and for you it's not really natural. So it's tricky. Yeah,
it is. It can even be not so much that they don't know how, but that they haven't, like, maybe they don't know you personally very well yet, or they don't know where you are on your journey, or any person, you know. So if you're answering a question, it's hard to like intuitively calibrate, you know, your answer, you know what I mean, for a given person, other than just talking to them, which is what I do. Like when I'm like starting a pairing session with somebody who I haven't worked with before, like if they're trying to solve a specific problem, you know, the first questions I sort of gauge, I just try to gauge like where, you know, what things they do know and what things they don't, so that we can like talk in the language that like both of us understand, you know, because, in a couple years, you know, you're just going to have all that get stuff under your belt and you're going to forget about how hard it was, you know? And then your answers, if somebody asks the same question, will be, okay, we'll just do this and this, you know? And then it's very easy, like, because that's the process that's in your brain, right? So like, okay, how do I do this? Oh, well, what Dan would do is, you know, X, Y, and Z, except if I don't have, you know, if the person doesn't know what X, Y, and Z means, that answer is useless, right? So calibrating, like trying to figure out how to calibrate those answers is complicated, and it doesn't fit everybody, you know, because if they're answering that good question, I don't know, like there are ways, you know, you could just write a book on pretty much any question about Git. Like, you know what I mean? Like the answer to any question on Git, if you get all the way down to it, is like very complicated, you know? And same with React and same with JavaScript, is all just a bunch of house of cards of different, you know, different pieces of data, you know? And it's just, I feel bad. That's not quite right. But like, I can understand the struggle of trying to learn all this stuff at once, you know, early, because when I learned, there was none of, when I was learning HTML and CSS, there, like, it didn't even exist. Right. Yes, exactly. You know, like I didn't have to learn Git, or version control or whatever, because we were just like cowboying files up to like a server, you know, and it was bad. Like, I'm glad that Git exists now, but, it's complicated on its own, you know, and it's this whole thing. I always try to tell people to just learn one thing at once, you know.
And it's kind of hard too. Like, yeah, it's tricky because, like, on one hand, like in your head, you know, you need to focus on one thing so you can like be good at something. But at the same time, with tech, you kind of have to know how to do one or two things at least. So you can never really be learning one thing alone. Yeah. At one point in time, you kind of have to know how to do at least two things, because they connect somehow.
Yep.
So it's kind of hard to just focus on one thing. So that's why people will get trapped in the whole learning 2-3 different languages at the same time. Like, I'm not even trying to learn frameworks yet, because like I want to get really good at JavaScript. Because like the advice that I keep getting is, if you get good at JavaScript or you can handle yourself with it, then everything else will come a little bit easier. So I'm not really worried about frameworks. I kind of already know which framework I want to learn first, which is Vue, but next, like down the road. And I probably will learn React, of course, because I know that's the demand and everything. But people will get caught up this framework is hot right now. That is hot right now. And people will be trying to learn 2-3 at the same time. And then they don't really, from what I have learned, and I'm constantly being told, like, get your basics right. And like, once you get your foundation set, then everything else will come. And I'm trying to get the foundation set. So, but it's really easy to get caught up in the whole, you know, hot new thing, and also learning more than one thing at a time, because tech changes so quickly too. So it's kind of a tricky balance.
It is really tricky. And I think what works for one person doesn't work for every person too, right? Like we've been saying. And I think, you know, sometimes jumping into a framework might be the way to go and like not mastering all those things. I know, I think it was when I went from Ruby to Rails. Like I was kind of getting it, but then I hit Rails and I was like, oh, okay, now suddenly this makes sense. And I'm not sure what made it click, but jumping into the framework helped me to understand things a lot better than I had before. And so it was, you know, kind of this backwards way of doing things, but hearing other people say like, oh yeah, I've done that too. There weren't as many people saying that. There were a lot of people saying that's not the right way to go, but there's not a right way and a wrong way. There's the way that works for you. And, you know, it's great to be able to recognize what those things are.
Yeah.
Now, Deborah Kay, I know like learning on your own, I went to a boot camp and I feel like that was challenging. I was online and I didn't have a sense of community, but I'm sure learning on your own is maybe extra challenging because you are trying to like find good resources and maybe find community. So, can you talk a little bit about what has been most challenging for you?
Yeah, so I have been like trying to learn on my own. Well, this year would make it 2 years, but before I found Virtual Coffee, I started to like do a little rabbit hole research, but I was just like trying to look at too many things at once, and I never had anyone that I could ask questions, and I was just struggling because I was going through one free boot camp, and I was even trying to do the 100 days of code thing. And if I missed a day, I would just be like, okay, I messed up. I'm going to start over. Cause I wasn't really like consistent and I wasn't really focused, and I had nobody to talk to about what I was struggling with. So it was just difficult. So I would start and stop and start and stop. And if I did good for a week and I missed 2 days because I just was too burnt out to do it, I was just like, okay, I'm going to start over now because I kind of messed it up and I had nobody to keep me accountable. And I just couldn't ask the questions. I would be like going through the boot camp, didn't understand what I was doing and had nobody to ask and felt like, okay, it's not for me because it's not clicking. Why is it not clicking? And I'd get frustrated, and the frustration would just cause me to be like, okay, it's not working. And then when I would see like someone tweet like, hey, I'm struggling with this, and I'm like, okay, it's not me alone. So maybe I should try again. And then I would try again and get frustrated at some point and stop again. So I was really like actually actively looking for a community that I felt comfortable in. And when I finally found Virtual Coffee, and I was like, oh my God, this is it. But it really took me a while, because studying on your own, like on one hand, self-paced boot camps are great. But if you have no one who is in it with you and you have no one to ask questions or be like, hey, I'm not getting this, is it me? And for someone to tell you that it's not you, it's actually normal to struggle through this process. And it's like a long journey. Like I have no problem with learning forever because I am a constant learner. So I have no problem learning forever. Like that's my thing. But when you know that there are people who are also struggling and can help you to get through those rough patches and encourage you like, hey, it's not you, you're going to get it. It's okay to not get it today, but you will get it. Don't worry about it. And to kind of talk you out of procrastinating and talk you out of talking yourself out of stuff, that's a great thing. It took me a while to find that space, but that was me. Like I was just like up and down, start today, stop next week, frustrated, okay. I have no one to talk to about it and no one to tell me, hey, it's not really you, it's normal, and you won't get it in a month, you won't get it in a day. So that was really instrumental for me, because when you study on your own, it's just not, and we don't really, it's even even without the pandemic, like, I don't really have anyone who, like, is, like, really into tech or wants to learn this thing. So to find a community where people have the same interests as you and they actually went through it, so they kind of know what you're struggling with and understand, like, hey, this was challenging for me too, or maybe you could think about it this way. Like, some suggestions, anything, but just something to help you realize that it's normal for you to struggle through this, because the learning curve is steep and you're not going to get it overnight.
I think, like, that's it, right? It's normal for you to struggle through this, because there's so much, I don't know if I would call it imposter syndrome or whatever, yes, self-doubt that comes when you're like, I'm struggling. That must mean I'm not good at this, or I'm not meant to do this. And that's not true at all, right? We all struggle through it, or most of us.
That's exactly it. Like, the imposter syndrome it's real. Like, I know people talk about it. I know that there are so many articles. I have read them. I have watched the videos. But when you're trying to learn something, and when you're like, why is it not easy for me, or as easy for me, or why is it that this person, like, gets it and I'm not getting it? The imposter syndrome will be like, it will tell you stuff that it will really make you procrastinate. And I spent a lot of time procrastinating too, because I was just like, I'm not getting it. So it's me, I'm not getting it. And then I would talk myself all this stuff, because I was like, it's not for me, it's not cooking. So maybe I'm not cut out for this. So imposter syndrome is so real. And, like, I know maybe even a lot of senior developers may think, oh, these junior developers talk about imposter syndrome, they don't know that I still have it. Or maybe as a senior, you may not have it as much because you have some experience. But as a junior with where and how tech is now, 2021, a lot of things have changed. And, you know, tools and all these things will always be coming out. But when you're just starting to learn something and you have to try to get up to par with where the tech space is today, and you have such a long way to go, seniors don't really, I think because they have already passed that stage, they don't really understand that imposter syndrome for a junior is probably even more than what they feel now, because they've been doing it for 5-10 years. So, you know, you kind of have an idea of what you're doing. You know, you don't know everything, but you kind of know what you're doing to a point. But a junior who has no clue what they're doing has, like, 1,000 times the imposter syndrome, because we don't know what we're doing.
I think that senior devs are just better at hiding their imposter syndrome. And, like, over the last year, I have been surprised at so many of our members who I would have expected to be super confident in things say that they're nervous about doing it, or they don't know if they're good enough to be doing this thing. And that was so eye-opening for me, because I thought, like, wow, you know, they're here, they're doing great, they've had this amazing career. But it was just like this hidden thing where I think people on this journey, where a lot of us are openly talking about it, which is great. And I think that should happen more. But it's been, you know, like, we're all here, and tech grows and moves so quickly that it makes sense that we frequently don't feel like we know what we're doing, because we can't. It just keeps moving.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where it makes sense that a person would struggle with learning to be a developer for the first time, because I can remember it. I can actually remember it being very hard, you know, and it is hard. And I think as somebody who, like, in a senior developer role, it's the imposter syndrome rears its head all the time, but sort of different, right? Because, like, not different. It's in different spots, right? Because I do, like, I'm not, like, it's more like, okay, well, what if, I don't know how to phrase this, but, like, what if everybody finds out, you know, like, that's the thing, you know, like, I'm not trying to find a job for the first time, and I'm not trying to, like, learn this whole new thing, you know, but, so it's, I don't know if it's like just not as sharp, like you were saying, like maybe when you're learning for the first time, it happens more often or something. And that might be true, you know,
growing pains.
Right.
You feel them.
Right. Right. But yeah, you know, and I feel like once you're there and also Becca, like to what you said, we never, like it's this sort of feeling. I feel like once you are more experienced, like once you've been doing a thing for a long time, is a little bit more under the surface, even under your own, like subconscious, you know, sometimes, I'm like, I don't have imposter syndrome. I just am bad at this. You know, it's like what I say to myself. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's, you know, like those are the like feelings that I have, often even, you know, like trying to push through these things. It still happens. I think it happens to a lot of people, and I, you know, some people don't talk about it. Some people don't realize that it is happening, or, you know, and then some people do talk about it, but.
And then also as a junior, I guess, because, well, you have some senior developers who are more open about talking about their imposter syndrome. And then there are others who, you know, you don't really see that, you know, they kind of make it look like, ooh, I'm so good at this. I've been doing this for 20 years. But as a junior, because we don't really see seniors talk about that they have imposter syndrome, we think, you know, they're so good at this. Like, they know it because they've been doing this for so long. So we're like, when are we ever going to feel comfortable knowing enough, mm-hmm. and be able to show that we know enough? Because, and like, know enough is like relative, of course, because, you know, this space is like so crazy where, you know, there are always new things to learn. And I love that. But also, it's almost like from a newbie, you kind of feel like, when will I, apart from trying to actually learn the thing to be able to do it, it's almost like, when will I ever feel like I know enough, and how can I show someone, you know, a company, a contractor, whatever, that I know enough to do this? And because we don't really see a lot of the senior developers openly showing that, hey, you kind of won't know everything and it's okay. And you may see me here 20 years later, but I was at the same point you were. And when I started, things were much different. Things have changed a lot now. So it's okay. You will get there. You don't have to try to get to my 20-year veteran, but just get comfortable with enough things that you can do whatever you're required to do, or you know how to go about learning how to do it.
Yeah, I think we were just in the book club meeting, and somebody there has been a developer for 15 years, but is a freelance developer. And one of the things they were talking about was they don't have feedback from anyone because they take on freelance clients. And so they don't ever really know how they're doing, right? And I think that's also plays into this role of learning, especially on your own or in a place where you're not getting feedback from people, because you are kind of your own reference point. And you are looking, like Dan was saying, you follow all these people on Twitter, right, who have been doing this for years. And so then it becomes you and these people that you're looking at, and you have no one to kind of look at what you're doing and say, like, look, you're doing a great job and this is amazing. And hey, I didn't know that thing and I've been doing it this long, right? And so that lack of community response or feedback can be really challenging to like gauge where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And it took me a while to like connect those dots too, because when you're learning on your own, you really don't have anyone to like bounce ideas off of, to be like, hey, I don't know what this means. Can you walk me through this? And also, as a new person, one of the things that I learned the hard way is asking for help, because you don't want to look like, I mean, you don't know what you're doing, but you kind of don't want anyone to know that you don't know what you're doing. So it took me a while to ask questions. And sometimes it's also a case of finding the right people to ask those questions, because not everyone will be willing to assist you, but finding the right people who are willing to help and would actually encourage you to ask questions. That was a big thing for me because I don't like to ask for help. It kind of sounds weird, but you don't want to seem like you have no clue what you're doing. But you also, what I've learned is that it's better to ask questions than to sit there and struggle and, you know, doing the wrong thing and you have no idea that you're doing the wrong thing or you're going about it the wrong way. So asking for help is like really important. And when you find a great community that you can ask for help, or the person who that you know, who is willing to assist you and they will actually walk you through something, you realize, oh, so I kind of got it, but I just went wrong right here. Or I could think about it this way. So asking for help is a really big thing. But new people, or us as newbies, we don't like to ask for help because we just don't want to look like we have no clue what we're doing. We don't, but we don't want anyone to know that. So yeah, asking for help is really, really a big thing too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything to add other than I love that advice. I think it's great advice. I think asking questions is important. And I think it's important for everybody at every level, you know, but just like you're saying, you know, you were saying you didn't want to, I don't know, appear like you didn't know anything or whatever, but the fact that you're working on anything, have a question to ask even, is evidence enough that you do know things, you know what I mean? And I don't know, it's possible to struggle through everything all by yourself. You know, it is possible, but it's much easier with people. And that's not even just like learning how to be a dev or whatever, you know. Any problem that you're struggling with, you know, is at some point going to be better if you can get somebody else to like look at it, or, you know, talk through your mental process or whatever it is, you know. Asking questions is just I don't know, such a useful tool, you know, and an important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, I think to go along with that, you called it a useful tool, and I think that's a good way to frame it too. Right? Because it is something that we need to develop, and it's something that we need to use often. And I think if you could learn that while you're learning, it's so important, because it took me a lot longer to learn about asking questions and when to ask questions for a lot of reasons you said, Deborah Kay. You know, I was like working, but I didn't want anybody to think I didn't know what I was doing. And so then I just like, I don't know, I was trying to, you know, carve a mountain, and no, that I was just gonna go and do this analogy, and it's just not gonna work. So the point is, ask questions early.
Now, yeah. Now I want to know what it was.
No. And like, I could see the image in my head too of like where it was going and how it would play out. It looked cool, but. doesn't translate. I don't know.
There's a podcast I listen to that they've built up this very complicated metaphor for like brain processes, and like it's complicated, and they built it up in like the first couple episodes, and then they just use it the rest of the time, and so they're like referring to these weird things. And you have no, like, I think if you jump in the middle of, like, if you just listen to the most recent podcast episode, you'll have no idea what they're talking about. But I don't know.
That's what I was trying to avoid exactly. Because right. I knew that. I was just like picturing that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, okay. So we're like, I'm just like trying to see what we have. We're just about at time. So I just want to know before, I don't want to wrap up, if there's something else that you want to talk about. So if there's anything else that you want to cover, we can go ahead.
No, I mean, I just want to say that I encourage people to, me encouraging someone to ask questions and to not be afraid to put yourself out there. That took me a long time to get comfortable doing that. Still working on it, but you have to get to a point where you're willing to take a little tiny step and ask a question and ask for help and share something that you think you don't know, but could actually help someone else. And took me a long time to get there. Because I even like just started blogging, well, not just started, but last year, late last year. And I was like, you know, how am I going to write about tech? And I don't know anything about tech, but I've just been like trying to write about my experience in learning, my learning journey, and the way that I saw it resonate with other people. I was like, oh, so I'm not the only one who feels this way. Cool. And that kind of helped show me that I'm not alone in the struggle. And like, I know I'll eventually get it, but when I saw other people responding like, this is me to a T, I was like, okay, cool. So it's not only me. That's really cool. Like, that was like the highlight of my day when I read that feedback. I was like, okay, cool. That means I'm on the right track. It's not only me. Mm-hmm. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, I love that. I don't know. That's always a piece of advice I give to everybody too, is writing at any point, you know, any point in your journey, you know what I mean? But like those, it's so valuable to share these experiences, you know, I think you'll appreciate it down the road too. When you're a, you know, wizened old developer who's been around the road and, you know, reading back. I have blog posts from, you know, early in my career, I guess, but they're not, I was in college when I was, you know, learning for the first time. I was still on my own. I wasn't learning it in college, but like, I wasn't writing any of this down. And I do wish I had, even just for myself, records, you know, of this sort of thing. I think it's very cool and a very good idea, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. Someone wrote a blog post about that. I think it was, I can't remember if it was Swix on Twitter, Sean, somebody wrote, I think it was him, but just the idea of like documenting your journey, because not really for anyone's benefit per se, but for your own benefit, mm-hmm. because, and I've seen a lot of developers say that they maybe solved a problem and they wrote about it, and then when they forgot how to do it, they would search and find back their own blogs and be like, oh, I actually wrote about this. To like remind themselves how to do that thing or how to solve that problem. So I like to write, but I'm always something like, what do I write about? So like my struggle is always, what am I going to write about? Because I don't know it yet. But writing is something that I definitely want to continue and like have it be a part of my thing. Cause I always did like to write. I did write blogs before, but not tech blogs. Because I always had the thinking that I have to actually be an expert in it before I can write about it. So, and that's why I always procrastinated on trying to blog, because I'm just like, I don't know enough to write about it yet. So what am I going to write?
Yeah.
So it's a journey.
That's for sure. Deborah Kay, you have given us so much great information, and thank you so much for being with us here today. We are very excited to be able to share this.
Yeah, thank you, Deborah Kay.
Thank you for having me. This was great. This was fun.
Excellent. All right. Well, we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Dan Ott and Becca Harrott-Weigel, and edited by Dan Ott. If you have questions or comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io, or you can email us at podcast@virtualcoffee.io. You can find the show notes, plus you can sign up for our newsletter to find out what Virtual Coffee's been up to on our website at virtualcoffee.io.
Please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.